You have your Bibles, if you would turn to the book of Colossians with me this morning. We're looking at Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you would please stand with me again for the reading of God's Word this morning. We're going to start reading down in verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1. Speaking of Christ, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. I want us to especially look at verse 20 this morning. Through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You would speak to us this morning. We're so impressed with this scripture and this reality of all that You've done. And I pray that You would burn these words into our heart. Let us not forget these things. And help in our time here this morning as we ponder these words, that we would be pondering in our heart and in our spirit the things that each one of us need, because, you know, we're diverse, we all have different needs, and I pray according to those different needs that You would apply these truths to the heart as is needed. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you know, I've been involved in construction. I have a piece of equipment that I use in construction. We call it a telehandler, forklift, extending boom on that. And it's a four-wheel drive steering, so both the front wheels turn like it does on your car, but also the back wheels turn as well. And to keep those wheels parallel with each other, there's a tie rod, is what the piece of steel that goes across, keeps those wheels parallel to each other. And that's what we call, you take your car in and you've got an alignment done in your car, right? If you haven't, that's something you need to, part of your maintenance you need to do. I don't think it's as, you don't have to do it as often now in your newer vehicles as you did on your older ones, but it is critical that your wheels be in alignment. So I have this telehandler, and I didn't see the stump, and I hit that tie rod onto a stump and broke the end where that shaft goes into the bracket that keeps those wheels in alignment. I don't know why they made them this way. I mean, I was able to get that part. It was like a $30, $40 part to fix that. So that was an accident. Oopsie. I simply repaired it. Well, a year later or so, that, remember I said the back one also turned, so there's also a tie rod in the back. Well, that one just wore out, because that's what happens to old machinery. And it fell off. And everything was so similar to the back than the front, but the threads, they weren't a standard thread on there. They weren't a fine thread, and they weren't a coarse thread. I don't know. So I told you it was like $30, $40 for that front end piece. Well, for that back one, nobody had it because it was a very unique thread size and pattern, and they were wanting like $400 for this part. I emotionally had difficulties with that when I bought one that looked just like that for the front, and to spend that kind of money for the back. Like, I got to be able to do this cheaper. So can I rebuild this? Can I weld this? And everything coming up with dead ends. I spent hours searching and looking online, and so finally went, broke down. All right, we'll have to order that. But you know, it was a long time, and I had work that needed to be done, so I actually operated it without tie rods for a while. I unloaded a semi of material, and I could get around, but it would just kind of hobble. It would wobble around, and I could get done what I needed to get done, but it wasn't really a lot of fun. And I had to put up with it for some time because of my emotional connection to letting loose of that amount of money. Finally, all right, order the part, get it come. Oh, yeah, we're going to have to. That has to be manufactured overseas somewheres. So, yeah, this was like last fall, like October, about this time of the year. All right, yeah, that should be in about February or so. And I was, February, wow. But, yes, it did come in this February, and I put that back on. And it was amazing. It was like getting a whole new piece of equipment, because you were used to hobbling around, and then when you get things back into alignment, things function much, much better, don't they? So much of that happens in our spiritual life. When things get out of alignment, you got problems, and that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning, pursuing alignment. In that 20th verse there of Colossians says, through him to reconcile to himself all things. That reconciliation is balancing out. It's bringing things into alignment, if you will. Like Webster, sometimes it's good to get a grip of some of what's meaning here, and I review these words, and Webster calls this to make consistent or congruous. That is to reconcile, to make consistent or congruous. So through Jesus, he was making congruent to himself, all things. Do you have stuff in your life that seems to be like hobbling around? Our responsibility, Christ has provided the means. Our responsibility is to respond to him. And we need to get our lives in alignment with God. And that is our job. You know, there's a branch of medical practice, doctor of chiropractic. They study the bone structure, and one of the primary things they focus on is getting your spine in alignment. They spend their career aligning people's spines primarily. You know, it's very important. Being involved in construction, two things baffle me. How some of the old timers could get buildings so plumb square and level with such limited equipment and tools. And the same thing is how sometimes I want to say this without making anybody feel bad at modern day carpenters. With all of the technology and all the tools that are out there available for them, they still build brand new buildings, and they're still crooked and out of plumb and out of square. Why? It's because they are not pursuing alignment in their layout. This is one of our tools that I use. It's laser. This one isn't, I got a couple of them. Another one is more highly accurate for layout, and it's got lasers going five different directions that are all 90 degrees to each other. So they're all parallel, one going down, one going up, one going straight forward, sideways and sideways. Everything being square, so you know, and you just shoot the little dot. This one here, and that one is accurate. What they guarantee is that it is an eighth of an inch accurate at 500 feet. very precise. There's no reason today for buildings to be crooked, okay? So this one here is more of a line laser, and we can just put it there, and now we can see where level goes across there. And shining it this way, it will hurt your eyes. And we're finding where we have ourselves a straight line now. And you know what Christ did on the cross? I talked last week about the cross being our hope. And as we find alignment with the cross in our lives, then I've got some things that we want to look at. Not only does it go level, but we can also hit the horizontal line. So we then have a vertical line. And we have lines that are 90 degrees parallel to each other then too. But we can do that, and that's what I was remembering in here. Essentially, how this one works, it's got a little pendulum in there, and I may be oversimplifying this, but I can't be too far off. It's got a little pendulum that swings in there. It's operating off of gravity. Gravity always works. So that's why the old guys, this is not high tech. We have the plumb bobs. I had a big brass one, and I thought of it late last night, and I was like, I'm not sure where that one's at. It's not one of my ones I use every day because it takes some time. But those were a primary tool that the old guys could use to keep things plumb. And Zechariah talks about this. You know, Zechariah was a prophet, and he was during the time of the Babylonian captivity that we've been studying in Nehemiah. He's right before the time of Nehemiah. He's actually kind of between the time of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah. And Zechariah is prophesying in chapter 4, and he says, "For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." And we will, what he's saying is that there's some small things. It may look small, but we cannot despise the day of small things because God is doing something. We don't want to despise those days, but to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel led the first return from Babylon back to Jerusalem to establish and to lay the foundations of the temple and to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. We have a serious, a sobering responsibility that we have. Several months ago, I preached a message called Defeating Antichrist. And the idea was that, coming out of the epistles of John, was that we must guard against the powers of the Antichrist that are at work in this world. And we do that primarily by having the anointing over us. And that anointing is achieved when we come in alignment with the demands of God. If you are not in alignment with God, then you're in alignment with Satan. Now, the thing of it is, it does not take a Ouija boards and tarot cards to get out of alignment with God. You don't have to blatantly play with the things of the devil to get out of alignment. One of the things that can be so destructive is self-alignment, and this can be so much creep into our lives so much easier than as a believer you'd think. We have so many examples of this. We see the narcissistic attitude that's so prevalent in our culture. But we also know that that's not anything new. We see that in the Old Testament prophet Jonah. You know, Jonah was a man of God. Jonah was a man who heard from God. He knew God's voice. Earlier, we have this little insight into Jonah's life where he was told to report some good news that God was bringing to Israel. News of prosperity. God said, "I am going to bless you." And that was what he told Jonah. And Jonah took that message to the king. Later, and that's good news, right? I mean, we'd like to receive those blessings. Israel sure did. later, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh in the story that we are more familiar with. But you see, what happened was Jonah got used to giving the good news. Hey, God's going to bless us. You know, what do you do to a prophet who says that? You honor him. Wow, you're going to bless me. Great. Come on in. What can I do for you? And it's very seductive, very easy to take on that Jonah attitude in our life with these things, with the things of our comfort, and getting in alignment with ourselves. Getting in alignment with our comforts, may I say, with the things that we that are great and that are on the surface comfortable for us. But how many of you know that we live in a broken world and that a lot of us have brokenness inside of our own lives, in our own hearts? And sometimes it's easy as well to find alignment with our own brokenness. And this also is destructive. We can get into the alignment with our needs and alignment with our brokenness. This is why somebody have said that, you know, hurt people hurt people. Seeking alignment that is not in alignment with Christ, with God. See, Jesus desires to bring all things to reconciliation to himself. Our responsibility is to bring ourselves under alignment with God. In 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. These are things that we need to, in our brokenness, pursue alignment to. So if we have fear, we need to understand that God is that is not from God, and we need to reconcile and bring that into submission to God. When we feel weak, we feel hatred, we need to understand that God has given us power and love. And sometimes in our mind, we can be so oppressed sometimes. But that also is not of God, and we need to seek alignment in our mind with God to bring those things into reconciliation with Christ and what he did for us on the cross. That's why the cross is my hope. Because we are pursuing alignment. It wasn't only Zechariah that was talking about the plumb line, but this was also the vision that Amos had several hundred years prior to this. Amos was actually one of the early prophets. He was before Isaiah, probably one of the first of the prophet books. Elijah, Elisha, all of those preceded him. But Amos was, of all the writing prophets, was one of the earliest ones. And so he got a hold of this. God showed him, if you want to know, it's Amos 7:7. God showed me this. Behold, the Lord stood on a wall. It was a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. Whose hand? God's hand. What was he holding? A plumb line. What is a plumb line? It's a parallel, straight line that is always vertical because gravity always works. And God is holding that plumb line, that measure out for us. And it is unchanging. It was the same for the Old Testament believers, and it is as it is for us, and that is a personal trust in God at the lowest level, our responsibility to come into reconciliation, a personal trust in God. That's what it took David to be in a clean standing before God. That's what it took Elijah to be in a right standing before God. That's what it took everybody in the faith chapter. Samson to get in a right relationship with God was a personal trust. And we personally have to trust the line, what Amos is calling the plumb line that God is holding out, And we need to bring ourselves in alignment with that if we want a straight wall in our life. The Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And Amos said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. God is setting the standard out there for us. God has given us this plumb line for us to follow. And as we follow it, it brings your life into reconciliation with him. Because that's what Christ is trying to do. Verse 20, through him to reconcile to himself all things. All things in your life, Christ is desiring to make right. Enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy, make havoc in our life. Christ is coming to, is desiring to come together to reconcile to himself everything in your life. So what happens is we desire a lot of times in our brokenness, we want to bring alignment in our to our brokenness off of our brokenness. So when you have a line, maybe it's like this. Maybe the line that we're holding is something like this, and we don't have the flashing. This flashes because it knows that it's out of level. But you see, sometimes in our lives, we have the lines that are not straight. We're trying to bring our life into reconciliation off of a false line, off of our own line of brokenness. And from our brokenness, we produce brokenness. But see, Christ was, what was he? Perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And he was broken for us to find connection to him. And that's why he's desiring to bring all things into reconciliation with him. He's doing it for us. I love these verses here. Let's look at this again. Let's back up and go back kind of over these verses again. In Colossians 1, 15, it was the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This is such a glorious hymn of magnifying our Savior. For by him all things were created. See, it's Jesus that was the agent of creation in heaven and on earth. Did you know that Jesus created invisible things? The Word of God right here tells us. Everything on earth, the visible and the invisible, were created by Christ. Whether thrones or dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him. And what's the next phrase? And for him. You see, everything in your life, everything around us, everything in government was made and established for Christ. How many of you know that we don't have things that are honoring Christ? That's why we say we live in a broken world. Because what's broken is that we're not finding and we're not living in alignment with him. I know that you don't have the power, the authority to transform. Well, I should put it this way. In yourself, you do not have the power, the authority to transform our culture. But you have a connection to something that is powerful enough to transform our culture. And we do so by getting our lives into alignment with the plumb line, if you will, that God has set for us. All things were made for him. And you know that there's this concept here in verse 17. Christ transcends time. Sometimes we look at the future and there's an element of concern. We should not be fearful. I'm warning you, be aware not to be fearful, because there is stuff that can feed that. But Jesus has already been there, because see what he says in verse 17? And he is before all things. He is before them. Before you existed, he was. And it is in him that all things hold together. That's why anxiety and fear is interjected into our life so strongly from the enemy. Because Christ holds things together. And the enemy is desiring to break that. And if he knows he cannot break God's standard. He knows he cannot break the plan of salvation. He knows he can't touch the plumb line that God is holding out. So what he tries to do is to come into our life and get us out of alignment with God. And this is a trick. And this is what brings heartache to our life. But Jesus has been given authority. Verse 18, he is the head of the body. That is the authority. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and everything that he might be preeminent, that he might receive the glory in it. But see, Jesus is God, and we must pour ourselves out into him, just as he submitted himself to us. God does the supernatural work in our life, but our responsibility is to surrender our all to him, to come into alignment with him. Why? And that was our text verse in 19. For it is in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself you and me and Washington, D.C., and the U.N., and North Korea, China, Iran. Christ is concerned for. Christ is desiring that the nations of the world, the people of the world, would come into alignment to him, because it is through him that Christ is desiring to reconcile all things. Let me close with a few thoughts. You see in your bulletin, I titled this message, Pursuing Alignment. At first, I wrote down Finding Alignment. And then as I studied this and pondered these scriptures, it's really not so much about us finding it, but it is a matter of us pursuing it. And this is really a lifestyle, because it's a daily walk with God. And so that's why it's something we're to pursue after. Now, we come to alignment with him when we surrender our heart to him. So we find alignment immediately when we're born again. But what we're born again to is we are born again to have a walk and a relationship with him. And so that's why I say it's really, this is something we need to pursue. And if we don't keep our eyes focused on him, if we don't keep our eyes focused on the plumb line that God has held out before us, we will look for alignment. We're going to start hobbling like my poor telehandler did for 6 months and try to do the best we can, but we're living far below the standard that God has asked for us to do. And there's an element of surrender to this. It can be difficult at times, but it is a beautiful thing when we surrender our all. And as we pursue alignment, it's the cross is what it's about. And that's what we're aligning to. The plumb line that God has held out, these are the demands. And the demands are, we are so broken, we couldn't meet those things. But what happened? God sent his only son as a mediator, the only mediator between himself and the earth. It was his son, Jesus Christ. And it is through Jesus Christ, through this work on the cross that he did, that we can then find perfect reconciliation with him. God desires that our buildings be plumb, meaning straight, and level. That's our two lines on here. He wants us to find that because he's desiring reconciliation, and he's desiring to reconcile everything, everything in the world, everything in your life. Look at your own life. Ponder your responsibilities. You are your duties, the job, the home, parent, spouse, all those different areas of your life. Intentionally, purposefully bring every area of your life into alignment with God. Let us stand. Our Father, we are grateful that you desire to have a relationship with us. You desire to commune with us, to have a walk with us. And you desire that even more than we do. And I pray that you would help us as we desire to pursue alignment with you. May we spend time in your word so we can know what you've asked for us to do. May we spend time in prayer so we can hear from your Holy Spirit that can apply that, make that connection between the, as Amos said, that plumb line, God, that you are holding out for us. And we're so grateful for Jesus to reconcile us to that, to you. And we're so grateful for the working of the Holy Spirit that can be everywhere in every one of our lives. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to go with each one of us and walk with us in every aspect of our life, every encounter, every person we meet, every family member, every coworker, all of our children. May every interaction we have be in reconciliation with you. We know that our dust, our mind, we don't have the ability to do this in our own strength. So we ask that the power of the Holy Spirit would go with us and would fill each one of us and would give us that, what we need to live in alignment with you. Watch over us in this week, we pray. Whatever struggles we're all faced with, we know that your grace is there. We're confessing our dependence on it. In Christ's name, amen.